Support for this podcast comes from the UTSA Institute of Texan Cultures, telling stories of Texas history and heritage from diverse cultures that define the state's unique character for over 50 years. Details at texancultures.utsa.edu.
Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. More than 54 million people in the U.S. are facing hunger during this pandemic, more than at the peak of the Great Recession, and staggeringly close to the Great Depression, when historians estimate that 60 million Americans went hungry. Although now it's estimated that we could surpass that with the bonus payment running out, the $600 weekly unemployment benefit running out this week. That is putting families in jeopardy and food banks on alert. What is happening with food insecurity? What assistance is available? We're going to get you that information this hour. We're joined by Eric Cooper, president and CEO of the San Antonio Food Bank. Welcome back to The Source, Eric Cooper.
Yeah, David, thank you so much for having us back. And you nailed it. We are anxious because at the onset of the COVID-19 crisis, we went from feeding 60,000 people a week to 120. And with that unemployment stimulus benefit, it has not impacted that demand. And so with that benefit running out, with kids being out for the last little bit of summer, utility bills at this high rate, this could be a tough week for our local families, and we worry we're going to see some increased demand at the food bank.
Taking a look across Texas, we're joined by Celia Cole, the CEO of Feeding Texas. Celia Cole, welcome to The Source.
Thank you.
And good also with us, Luis Guardia, the president of the Food Research and Action Center. Luis Guardia, welcome to The Source.
Thanks for having me.
So let's go to Celia Cole, a CEO of Feeding Texas. We were talking earlier about what's happening in the Rio Grande Valley. We're seeing a huge outbreak of COVID there, and now the area was hammered over the weekend by storms and flooding. Also, all parts of Texas are dealing with this crisis in different levels. Where do you see what's happening? Also, because that's a food basket, a food for Texas as well.
Yes, that's right. We're very worried about what's going down in the Rio Grande Valley with the storm. And, you know, our food bank was temporarily out of power, but that was restored. So that's good news. They didn't lose any food. But yeah, that's an area that's been super hard hit, first by the increase in COVID cases and next by this storm. And so, you know, we're very worried about, you know, families being able to access food during these times. The San Antonio Food Bank is one of 21 food banks across the state that are part of the Feeding Texas Network. And what Eric was describing in San Antonio, we've seen, you know, in communities, every community across the state, increased food insecurity, lines at our food banks doubling and tripling and overflowing from parking lots. We're feeding over 400,000 families weekly now. We're doubling the amount of food out the door than this time last year. And, you know, most important, we're very concerned about the latest data that suggests that food insecurity in Texas has doubled since the pandemic.
Luis Guardia, president of the Food Research and Action Center. Later, I really want to ask you about what's going on globally, because that's a huge concern. But right now, let's focus on here locally or in the United States. What does it look like across the country?
Well, as you're saying, food insecurity across the United States has been tremendous. 37 million people reported being in food insecure households before the pandemic. We believe that number has doubled based on some census pulse check data that we have looked at with some friends and fellow researchers out of Northwestern University. So it's about one in five folks living in food insecure households now. But if you happen to be in an African American household or a Latinx household, then your luck is even worse. You're probably 40% every two in five people living in food insecurity. And as folks were mentioning earlier, with the expiration of the unemployment benefits, we're expecting that number to increase. Our network of anti-hunger organizations across the United States saw a tremendous increase in the need for people to needing help to get on the SNAP program early on in the pandemic, and we're expecting that number to get worse, particularly if Congress doesn't leave D.C. without having a boost to SNAP.
Eric Cooper, Governor Greg Abbott has extended some SNAP benefits dealing with this crisis. Can you explain what's going on?
Well, it's been critical in getting our families out of these long lines and stuck in parking lots waiting for food to get them into grocery stores. And the way we do that is by strengthening that unemployment benefit as people have lost their wages, and bolstering SNAP. The opportunity that the governor took was to give families the maximum benefit for a few months at the onset of this crisis. But that needs to be extended, and we would love for Congress to boost SNAP by 15%. That gives families the ability to better nourish themselves, reminding listeners that the SNAP program is a supplemental nutrition assistance program. It relies on families to have some form of income to make up the difference. And with so many families that lost their jobs, so many families still trying to get the unemployment that have not been able to draw down that benefit. And as you've mentioned, the stimulus increase of the $600, that's going to be a tightening, which Texans across the state will be struggling to nourish themselves and their families.
Eric Cooper, one of the arguments that we're hearing from the Republican senators who have floated their own stimulus bill, they want to have a $200 weekly unemployment benefit, a bonus, but they want to shift it to 70% of what the person was making beforehand. That just trying to make that actualize that idea is going to be very complicated and would slow down these payments. But if they were able to do that slowly or even quickly, what kind of impact would that have, having the $200 or the 70% of the income?
Well, we know so many families struggled to make it on their earned income prior to COVID. Our community is a very hardworking, blue-collar community. Our Riverwalk economy supported a lot of hospitality jobs, and those employees, in some sense, are fairly transient from restaurants to restaurants. Many of them didn't qualify, right? Didn't actually be able to draw down the unemployment benefit, and those that did. We did hear that some of them, that stimulus gave them a little bit more income than maybe their job. Their fear is that their restaurant isn't going to bring them back, and so they're trying to stock away that extra earning. And we hope they did, because I think that can brace them. But ultimately, I think a plan to try to cover that lost income and then give people that struggled under normal conditions an opportunity to nourish their families through a SNAP boost and the other USDA nourishment programs. One of the biggest challenges will be schools not coming online as they normally would have, where so many of our kids are fed. And so it's this perfect storm that's brewing that could displace a lot of families and create a high rate of food insecurity for many Texans.
Celia, the Cole with the CEO of Feeding Texas, are the people who qualify for this SNAP benefit during this crisis? How many people are we missing? People who could get this, are they not getting it?
Well, if you just look at how many households were participating in SNAP prior to the pandemic, it was about 1.4 million households, and we've seen about a 21% increase in households participating since COVID, so about 1.7 million households are now participating, and that's a very significant increase over just a few months period. We always miss out on certain people with SNAP, even outside of a pandemic situation. There are always households that qualify that don't apply, and sometimes it's because of a lack of information. They don't know that they're eligible, and sometimes they struggle to navigate the application process itself, which can be a little bit daunting, and it's all online right now. And so with that, and then obviously less access to state offices and in-person assistance, it can be particularly daunting for people who may not be comfortable, you know, just generally applying for benefits, being online, being on the internet. So, I think we are always worried we're missing people. We have a statewide application assistance program that our food banks run in partnership with our state, with the Health and Human Services Commission, so we are available to help those folks who struggle to navigate the process. The other thing it's important to note is, you know, anytime you expect a surge in SNAP applications, and which we fully anticipate with if the unemployment benefits expires, you got to make sure the state can keep up. And so among the things that USDA did that helped states with that, in addition to maximizing the SNAP benefit, was to relax certain requirements, such as suspending the need for an interview and suspending renewals. And all of that has allowed Texas to keep up with the increase in applications. So in addition to, you know, wanting the USDA to allow Texas to continue to provide the maximum benefit, it's also critical they can continue to extend that flexibility of waiving that interview and suspending those renewals. Otherwise, the state could quickly become overwhelmed, and then, yes, you'll see a lot of people missing out on the benefits just because their applications get stuck in limbo.
So how daunting is it to fill out the applications in order to qualify? If you qualify for this benefit, you should get it. And if it's daunting, is it overly daunting? Is it something that can be streamlined? And I'd like to hear more about how you can help people navigate and get these benefits.
Sure. Well, I think, you know, the allowing states to give everyone who applies the maximum allotment really cuts down on the complicatedness of the application, because other than figuring out how many people are in the household, which in itself can be complicated, they're not needing to collect as much information about income and things like that. So it's definitely streamlined, allowing for max benefits and eliminating the interview requirement. That has already greatly streamlined the process, and that's what's allowed Texas to keep up. We are actually, you know, our partners at the Texas Health and Human Services Commission have done a good job staying timely and getting people benefits on time, but it's entirely been because of those flexibilities that they've been given. So that it's critical that they continue, otherwise we will fall behind. The application process is complicated, but it's a very targeted benefit during normal times. And so what we do to help through the application assistance program is we have trained staff at all of our food banks who are very knowledgeable about the rules and who qualify, and they can actually help people navigate sort of the online process. Right now, we have a special permission from the state to help people who have access to a computer through screen sharing technology, so that we can help them submit their application without needing to be there right by their side, which is what we're normally required to do. And we've also pushed the state to think about letting us do telephone application assistance, where we can accept a client's signature over the phone and submit the application for them. That flexibility is going to be critical, particularly to reach those populations that don't have access to a computer and or live in isolated areas without internet connectivity, and seniors who I think normally really struggle a lot to navigate the online process. So we're pushing for those additional flexibilities from the state. We're working with the state to get USDA to continue to grant those flexibilities around the interview requirement. And then there's a couple of other things Texas could do to increase access to the benefits for people in need, such as eliminating the asset test. And that's something we'll also be pushing the governor's office to act on.
And so, Celia, it seems like, are people, do they not know that you could help them do all these things? Are they getting that word?
I mean, our food banks do a great job. They're, you know, obviously already a great resource in their communities. Eric can probably talk a little bit more. He's got one of the most robust application assistance programs in the state. But we do try and combine when we're handing out food boxes to families to let them know that SNAP is available to them and to connect them to a worker at the food bank if they need help. But Eric can probably speak more to their program.
Okay, we'll check in with Eric Cooper about that when we come back from this break. We're talking about food insecurity and assistance that's available. We want to help communicate actionable information to the community so they can find out where they can, who they can turn to right now, because many people are getting this $600 weekly benefit from the government for unemployment, but that is going to go away and it's going to put people in a bind. How's the local food bank and how's the hunger system going to deal with this expected tsunami of need? If you have a question or a comment, is this you? We want to hear your story. 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK.
Drug wars in Mexico run deeper than clashes between cartels.
If you follow the money in this, it takes you far away from these stereotypical portrayals of drug traffickers and their hitmen. And it takes you to corporate boardrooms, it takes you to Wall Street, it takes you to London, it takes you to Switzerland.
Examining violence in Mexico, next time on Fronteras. I'm Norma Martinez. Download Fronteras wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about food insecurity and assistance that's available here for our families that are in need. We expect the need to go up considerably as the as the $600 unemployment benefits are expected to run out this week. You can call in. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Elizabeth is on the line. And Elizabeth, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you, David. Question, given the fact that many children will not be back in school and they have been depending on food supply programs in school, if those funds are still in the budget for school use,
okay, so what's going to be happening to those school kids? Eric Cooper, President and CEO of the Food Bank.
Well, I tell you, Congress leased a great program in the Pandemic Electronic Benefit Transfer, PEBT, which was really designed to nourish kids for last school year. So kids, when they were let out in March through the end of the school year, qualified in Texas for a benefit of $285. Now, families that were on SNAP got that loaded directly onto their Lone Star card, and those that were not on SNAP needed to apply. Now, they got some assistance from their school districts, some direction, and then they went to the state's website. It was $1 billion statewide. Bexar County received about $54 million, but we've only drawn down about 70-75% of that for last year. With this upcoming school year and the pending online learning and the kids missing those meals, we hope that Congress will enact an extension of the PEBT program, just because that will give families the ability to nourish their kids and not create the congregating. Now, the food bank here in San Antonio has run a summer food service program all summer long trying to get the kids, and I will admit it's been a challenge. I mean, our meal programs are effective and efficient when we can gather kids together and nurse them to in that congregate site. And the inability to congregate to prevent the virus from spreading creates a challenge when it comes to feeding kids, and schools will see that this upcoming school year.
And Luis Guardia, president of the Food Research and Action Center, what do you see happening across the country as this $600 benefit runs out?
So that's alarming to us, obviously. One of the things that we experienced, or I should say our network experienced across the United States, was a tremendous increase in the request for SNAP application assistance. As we were talking about before the break, a lot of our organizations help people in local communities navigate and go through the SNAP application process. When the pandemic first hit and we saw the unemployment numbers starting to increase towards the end of March, beginning of April, we saw huge increases, particularly in a couple of groups that we work very closely with. We're headquartered here in D.C., so we work very closely with Maryland Hunger Solutions and D.C. Hunger Solutions, and we saw numbers go up from several dozen or 100 a week to over into the thousand, over 1,000 per week based over last year. So the numbers were quite alarming, and I think as some of this starts to expire, I think we can see the need for help to increase, and it's. And it's something that, as we were talking about before, when people come to food banks and they go to these other sources to get some kind of nutrition assistance, a lot of folks don't know about SNAP. Certain notions about SNAP that maybe. They may not be eligible or if it's not for them, but that's what it's there for. SNAP was designed to be our country's first line of defense against hunger, and the we want people to have access to it. But it's important not just to have access to it, but it's also important to make sure it's sufficient. During the last Great Recession. In 2008-2009, we had SNAP boosts increase about 13 to 14%, and that's in line with what was requested now. That was in the HEROES Act and H.R. 6800 that was approved by the House of Representatives last month to increase SNAP benefits by 15%, the maximum by 15%. But we also wanted the minimum increase from $16 a month to $30 a month to help, particularly some of the newer people who are coming on and might be qualifying for the lower levels, because we're seeing a lot of a lot of new people that are needing to come onto the program who probably wouldn't have anticipated before.
Let's go to a caller. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. One of the problems, and you just mentioned this, Luis, how there is a stigma associated with people who need this help. And we kind of got to get through that. So if we can get people to call in to talk about what they're facing and how they're dealing with it, the help they're receiving, how important it is for them, and how we got to get more people to get into that mindset. We need this help. And if you can call in and tell us what's happening to you, that would be a big help. 833-877-8255. Let's go to Jean on the phones. Jean, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, Dave. I'm calling. I think this is going to be addressed to Eric Cooper. There is a program called Daisy Cares that's part of the food bank that I think a lot of people are not aware of. I wasn't aware until I went specifically looking for how I could help. People's four-legged family members are going to need to eat during this time, and any bit of help that families can get to feed their pets could also help them to stretch their dollars further for food for their children. So if he could talk about that, make people more aware of how they can donate and how they can receive the help from Daisy Cares, that would be great.
Jean, thank you for the call. Eric Cooper?
Yeah, Jean, thank you for highlighting our program. And Daisy Cares is really targeting that four-legged family member. For many families, specifically seniors, their only companion is their pet, their dog, or their cat. SNAP benefits does not cover that. And so it's a privilege of ours at the San Antonio Food Bank to provide that as a part of the food and benefit that families receive. And families can receive that at the pop-up distributions at many of our emergency food pantries. And if people would like to donate to that specifically, they can go online to our website. But, David, it's important that listeners that are struggling know to go to the website, safoodbank.org. If you're applying directly for SNAP benefits, that's yourtexasbenefits.com. If you need help in applying, you can call our helpline at 210-431-8326. We really try to connect people immediately to food. We'll do that through our Food for Today strategies, which is through our pantries and our pop-ups. But our Food for Tomorrow strategies are really about educating families about these stabilizing programs like SNAP and WIC, the Children's Health Insurance Program, Medicaid, all those safety net, first-line federal responses that can bring some stabilization to the household in this time. We can help families with those applications. And then our third tier is really food for a lifetime, and that's about workforce development. And again, the challenging economy right now with not enough jobs is really why this unemployment insurance benefit needs to be extended at that stimulus amount. And what that amount exactly should be, I think Congress needs to get it right so that families can maintain their households during this pandemic.
We have some news that Governor Greg Abbott today announced that the Texas Health and Human Services Commission is extending the application deadline for the federal pandemic electronic benefit transfer program to August 21st to ensure that eligible families have more time to apply for this one-time food benefit. Now, this is $285 per eligible child and can be used in the same way that SNAP food benefits are used to pay for groceries. So, Celia Cole, the CEO of Feeding Texas, does this extension, is this good news?
It's great news, and I want to give a big shout-out to Governor Abbott for extending the application deadline. We know as much as PEBT has helped the families that have signed up and gotten that benefit, we still, as Eric mentioned earlier, a lot of families have not taken advantage of the opportunity yet. And so we're grateful to the governor for recognizing the need for that extension. And I want to just build on something Eric said. If you go to feedingtexas.org and go to the Get Help section of our website, you can find your food bank just by inputting your zip code. And so whether you need help with food or help signing up for benefits like SNAP or connections to some of those other services Eric talked about, that's a good resource for families. And then if anyone's struggling with the PEBT application, they've applied and haven't heard back, they've been denied and need help appealing, they can reach out directly to Feeding Texas. We're working hand-in-hand with the state to make sure everyone's aware of that benefit and to sort of troubleshoot challenges as they arise.
And Celia, are people, if you've never applied for these types of benefits before, you've always had a good job, you've always been able to take care of your family, but now this is something that's outside of our hands. I mean, in about 30 seconds, do you think people have a hard time saying, I'm going to sign up?
Yeah, I mean, I think the state's done a good job making these benefits really accessible during this time, but sometimes there's a pride issue if you've never had to ask for help before. But it's one of the reasons food banks are there and have trained navigators on staff is to help people who struggle.
And we are seeing right now families that are going without, and there is help available. We'll talk more about that when we come back from the break. Also, we'll get a check-in on what's happening globally. It's a horror story. If you have a question or a comment, the number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Food insecurity, available assistance here in San Antonio across Texas. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Are you experiencing food insecurity, but you're unsure about where to get help? Have you had trouble applying for food assistance programs? What has your experience been like with SNAP benefits or the Pandemic Electronic Benefit Transfer Program? If you need help, tell us what's happening in your life, because your story could help others people. Call in. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Let's go to the phones with Armando. Armando, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. I was wondering if there's any concerted effort with, let's say, council members and the food bank to make sure that there's like a consistency in terms of how they give food away. There was a food giveaway a couple of days in front of my home, and there was people waiting in lines. And at the end of the whole event, they were told that they had to pre-register, and they were made to leave. And it just didn't seem right. Now I was just wondering if there's more consistency, maybe working and organizing with other nonprofits and political figures who want to do the good thing.
All right, Armando, thank you for that. Eric Cooper, can you with the food bank?
Great question. I mean, we've got about 550 nonprofits throughout 16 counties here in Southwest Texas that we work with that are doing curbside pickup and serving families. In addition to that, we have the pop-up distributions that sounds like was going on across from your house. it's super important that families go online to our website to pre-register for those events. That gives us the ability to know how many people are coming, and that allows us then to plan how much food to bring. We do always have a little bit of margin so we can do some registrations on site because we hate to turn people away, but we want to make sure that we don't run out of food. And so when we do redirect someone, we'll send them to another site where there might be some capacity because of their not registering for that specific location. About 20 distributions occur each week, and they're all throughout the city so that we can make sure we get it close to where people are living and located.
Let's go to Michael on the phones. Michael, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. First of all, I am with Alamo Community Group, and we're a local nonprofit, and we've been partnering up since the start of COVID with a group, another nonprofit called Be a Champion, and they provide 7 days worth of breakfast and lunch for children in throughout Texas, and they have been such a great resource. I was wondering if Eric Cooper has ever heard of them and maybe they could partner with them.
All right, Eric Cooper.
Yeah, so great organization doing some great work, and we are partners already and do a lot of the same summer meals or the child and adult care feeding programs. These are great USDA programs that Be a Champion and the Food Bank and many other nonprofits run to connect kids or qualifying families to those meals. And it's a wonderful way to kind of provide a nourishing meal and then combine that with some of the food distributions where we're able to give groceries to the families. Thanks for the shout out.
Luis Guardia, can you talk about, you're the president of the Food Research and Action Center. Reading about what's going on around the world, it's startling what's happening. Can you help us understand what's happening?
We focus on domestic food insecurity and hunger.
Sure.
But certainly this is something that
I mean, it's a global crisis. There are some predictions that globally more people will die of starvation because of COVID-19 than from actual COVID-19.
Yeah, I think it shouldn't come as a surprise as we're seeing here in this country. Children are particularly hard hit when it comes to food insecurity, and I think UNICEF was predicting another 6.7 million children becoming food insecure globally. But particularly in this country with the wealth we have, with the food systems that we have, we know that they were stressed at the beginning of COVID. We saw some disruption in both the commercial and institutional sides of the food supply chain that we really shouldn't have those problems. I mean, we should work through them, and that's one of the reasons why our organization, FRAC.org, is really focused on highlighting the need for SNAP assistance, because one of the beauties of SNAP is that it rides the regular rails of commerce. It uses the existing supply chains. It uses existing retail outlets. It helps local economies, and that's what's needed right now. And we're hoping we're certainly hoping that the extent of the food crisis we're seeing here is not replicated elsewhere around the world, because the proportions are quite alarming.
Sure, and I know we're focused on what we can do locally and domestically, but it seems like we should at least keep an eye on, be mindful of what's happening around the world with our brothers and sisters. Celia Cole, CEO of Feeding Texas, do we expect that there is going to be this massive need in a week or two or 3 weeks due to the inaction from what's happening in Washington, D.C.?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to pinpoint exactly when we'll see the surge, but I do think if the unemployment benefits run out, then over the course of the next month, we're going to see a big increase in people seeking help from food banks and people applying for SNAP. As Eric mentioned earlier, I think some of the additional unemployment benefits that went out helped people save, knowing that there were leaner times to come, and so you may have some people able to make it for a little bit, but certainly concerned that definitely over the next month or two, we're going to see a big increase for sure. And I wanted to say something else just on sort of the world hunger issue that I think is true here at home as well, which is that, you know, if we're going to eradicate hunger, whether it's here or abroad, we need to address the root causes. And, you know, hunger is not just about having an empty belly. It's driven by, you know, interconnected systemic issues such as poverty and economic inequality and climate change and race and gender discrimination, government systems and all of that. So I do think it's about more than just filling the gap with resources, that we need to take a long-term systemic approach to the problem both here and abroad. But in the meantime, you know, as Luis pointed out, when you have a big problem like this one, when you're expecting over 1 in 4 Texas households to struggle with food insecurity in the coming months, which is, you know, close to 2 million families, big problems need big solutions. And SNAP is the most efficient and scalable solution that we have.
Eric Cooper, how is the San Antonio Food Bank preparing for what could be one of the biggest challenges that you've ever faced?
Well, we're continuing to educate, again, elected officials and Congress and in Texas about this public-private partnership. Philanthropy can't bridge the gap. We've had tremendous support from our local individuals and companies and foundations and churches. We are working hard to keep our inventory in stock and working to desperately bridge this gap. You talked about the global pandemic and the impacts, and I think the supply chain is still not fully restored. You can see that at local grocery stores. There's lots of items that are not in inventory. We're about 25% off when it comes to our typical donations because of the supply chain disruptions, and those are primarily because food manufacturers, processors, they're struggling with high absenteeism because of the virus. And so for an organization like ours that's actually purchasing a lot of food, sometimes that can be 3 to 4 months out before we're actually going to receive the truck because of those delays. And so we've already seen the spike. We're already seeing the demand increasing this week. I think families are panicking because they're worried about that benefit running out. You know, we've had distributions over at Wells Fargo and in Divine at the school district there. And both of those distributions saw some increased demand from what we've seen at those locations previously.
And how will you have to adapt?
Well, we're going to do everything we can. I mean, I think we're going to lean on the community, and again, our community has been phenomenal, but we're going to be reaching out for that public intervention. I do want to highlight our volunteers and our staff and just, you know, these frontline workers in this crisis across the food industry. I mean, our baggers, our checkers at our grocery stores, those that are producing the food, those are essential services, and they have to be there if food is going to be provided to all of us. And when you think of that across the world, those nations all need to be nourished. But it's that frontline worker, it's that migrant farmer, it's that rancher, it's the dairyman, it's everybody working to produce the food that's going to nourish the world. And in this COVID-19 crisis, it's just been a struggle to get food produced and get it to families in an economy that is struggling to provide the economic incentive for that food to come to the table. And that's why I think food banks and FRAC and Feeding Texas were all saying SNAP is the answer. I mean, SNAP creates that opportunity to help the family while bolstering the local economy. It's employing people. It's strengthening the supply chain. And I think if Congress would consider that 15% boost, it would go a long way in easing my fears in my inability to meet this potential upcoming surge of demand.
Congress is working on this relief plan. It could take weeks before something is passed. The politicians are saying, well, those people can pay their bills retroactively. Well, you can't eat retroactively. People have to eat now. I want to thank all of our guests, Eric Cooper, President and CEO of the San Antonio Food Bank, Celia Cole, the CEO of Feeding Texas, and Luis Guardia, the President of the Food Research and Action Center. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies, produced by Kim Johnson and Dallas Williams, with production assistance provided by me, Ruben Garcia. Dan Katz is TPR's news director. Support for The Source comes from contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.